There are three sources in the Torah that obligate a person to save his fellow man from certain death. The first source is the pasuk that says "V'hashivo solo," that just like there's a mitzvah in the Torah to return a person's money if that money is in danger of being lost, so too there's a mitzvah in the Torah to return a person's body if his body is in danger of being lost, if his body is in the danger of dying. So that's a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. It applies equally to one's money and equally to a person's person as well. However, the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda is limited in many ways, and therefore, in order to expand one's obligation to save his fellow man, there are two extra obligations that the Torah imposes. The first is from the pasuk of Lo Samo and Adam Riecha, that a person shouldn't stand by idly while his friend's blood is running. That teaches us, says the Gemara, that whereas Hashavas Aveda only applies in a case where I can pick up the Aveda and return it, but I don't actually have to hire workers to help me return the Aveda, which involves two things. It involves the effort of finding the workers, and it also involves extending a loan, essentially paying the workers out of my own money in order to return the Aveda. So those are two conditions which would exempt a person from Hashavas Aveda. So Lo Samad Aldam Riacha teaches us that a person is not exempt from Hashavas Gufo, a person is not exempt from saving his friend's life, right, simply because of these two considerations, but rather he must go through the effort to hire workers and even advance the money from his own bank account to hire the workers to save his friend's life. And finally, the third source is a pasuk that says, Ein Moshia La, that there's an obligation to save a Naira Hamorasa, there's an obligation to save a woman from being hurt in a particular way by a man who's chasing her. And we learn from there that just like there's an obligation to save this woman, there's also an obligation to save the victim of a would-be murderer. Meaning there's an obligation if somebody is being chased and pursued with murderous intent, so we save the one who's being pursued by killing even the one who's doing the pursuing, by killing the would-be murderer. So we see that there's an obligation on people to save those who are about to be murdered, even to the point of killing the would-be murderer. So clearly there should be an obligation under other circumstances also for people to save the person who's in danger of being murdered, the victim, even at great, you know, even if that requires great measures. So these are the three sources. The question is, to what extent is one of the sources primary and the others not primary? So here I'm drawing a little bit on an article written by Rabbi Bleich in Beis Yitzchak, volume 37, where he brings down the following sources. First of all, the Sefer HaChinuch and Rabbi Shlomo Kluger have a tremendous chiddush, which Moshe Feinstein vehemently disagrees with, as do most, in fact, all poskim. The Sefer HaChinuch says a chiddush that by Hashavas Aveda, there's only a mitzvah to return a person's lost object when that person didn't deliberately attempt to destroy it. If a person puts his wallet in the garbage can, meaning he doesn't want it anymore, and if he throws something in the garbage, so there's no mitzvah to return it to him. He threw it in the garbage, there's no mitzvah to return it. Otherwise, we should go and return people's garbage to them. What's pshat that there's no such mitzvah? It's called an aveda midas. If somebody causes something to be lost, and deliberately he causes it to be lost, there's no mitzvah of hashavas aveda anymore. So the same thing says the Minchas Chinuch. If a person causes his guf to be lost, if he throws his guf in the garbage, so to speak, in other words, he's attempting to commit suicide, the Sefer HaChinuch argues incorrectly that there's no mitzvah to save him. Just like there's no mitzvah to return mamon, which is an aveda midas, there's no mitzvah to return aveda haguf when that's an aveda midas. This is an incorrect chiddush of the Sefer HaChinuch, but it shows the extent to which Achronim understood that the mitzvah of Hashivo Solo is the base of all of the mitzvahs of saving a fellow's life. And Rabbi Shlomo Kluger says a similar chiddush. He says that when a person is a zakin ve'ein ola fichodo, if a person is a very dignified person, and it will be beneath his dignity even to, let's say that his cow was lost, or his wallet was lost. So it would be beneath his dignity to walk with his cow back to the barn. It would be beneath his dignity to stoop and pick up the wallet. So then, just like he wouldn't do this for his own money, the Gemara says he's also not obligated to do this for his friend's money. So Rabbi Shlomo Kluger argues that the same thing applies by Hatzalas Nefashos, that if it's a Zakin Ve'inu Lefi Chvodo, so meaning it's beneath his dignity to save this other person's life, so then he's not obligated to do so, the same way that he wouldn't be obligated to be Meshav Aveda. Now, it's very unclear what the practical ramifications of this Reb Shlomo Kluger is, because Lechaora, a person would go to all measures to save his life. A person wouldn't, you know, would sacrifice his entire dignity to save his life. So even if the person is the most dignified person in the world, so he would still abandon all of his dignity, all of his kavod, in order to save his own life. So therefore, he's obligated to abandon all of his kavod to save somebody else's life. There's no person in the world, right, who can defend himself. I mean, I guess Klapi Shmaya, when a person goes to Shemayim, so Shemayim will know, and Kadosh Baruch Hu will know whether Hitaka would have lost his life rather than lose his dignity. But Bepashtos, most people would be willing to sacrifice and surrender all dignity in order to save their life. So therefore, Rabbi Shlomo Kluger doesn't seem to be so nogeil halacha lemaisa. Just like a person is obligated or would be willing to abandon his dignity to save his own life, so too he is obligated to abandon all dignity to save somebody else's life. But the fact that Rabbi Shlomo Kluger is able to draw this comparison and say that just like Hashavas Aveda, if it's Einu Lavi Chvodo, if it's beneath his dignity to return the Aveda, he's not obligated to do so, so too, by Hatzalas Nefashos, if it's beneath one's dignity to save a person's life, he's not obligated to do so. So that just shows you the extent of the impact that Hashavas Aveda has on the mitzvah of saving one's fellow's life. So the question goes from here as follows. What happens in terms of fees? We know that there is a complicated set of halachos that govern how much one is allowed to charge for Hashavas Aveda. Right? First of all, there's a musig called Mavriach Ari Minichse Chaveiro. That let's say that there's a lion and it's going to attack my friend's sheep. So I quickly run and I either spend money or I spend time and energy in order to get rid of this lion, in order to make sure that the lion doesn't hurt my friend's sheep, right? Or in the more classical case, let's say that my friend's field is protected from being flooded by the canal by a dike, and there's a hole in the dike, and I'm passing by, and I see that there's a hole, and if I don't put my finger into the hole in the dike, so then his field is going to be flooded. So I put my finger into that hole. So the question is, right, under these circumstances, do I have an obligation do I have a right to ask for recompensation, for reimbursement by my friend whose money I saved? So in the case of the lion, the Gemara tells us there's a big discussion. Under some circumstances, I do have such an obligation. I do have a right to demand reimbursement, and under other circumstances, I have no right to demand reimbursement. There's a machlokes exactly what those circumstances are. According to some, I believe Rashi says that one is only entitled to reimbursement when he didn't perform a mitzvah. But if what the action that he did was a performance of a mitzvah, he's not entitled to reimbursement. And others say that one is entitled to reimbursement only when it's uncertain whether the damage would have taken place, but if the damage would certainly have taken... Sorry, if I carry. One is not entitled to reimbursement if the damage might not have taken place, because then the guy can say, look, who says that the lion would have attacked my sheep? Maybe it would have gone away calmly. But if it was clear and certain that the damage would have taken place, then regardless of the fact that the one who saved the sheep or the one who saved the field from the flood, right, was performing a mitzvah, he would still be entitled to compensation. So that's one discussion which Lichaura has bearing on this issue of Hashavas Aveda. For what reason or under what circumstances is a person entitled to compensation? Is he entitled to compensation only in cases where he's not performing a mitzvah, or is he entitled to compensation for Hashavas Aveda even in cases where he's performing a mitzvah, so long as the hatsala that he effected on his friend's money is a certain hatsala? on the surface, so this could be applied to our case. I would only do so tentatively. It needs a lot more research, but one might argue that this machlokas applies to the case as well of a doctor who saves the life of his patient. He's entitled to compensation. Well, he was doing a mitzvah. He was doing the mitzvah of saving his friend's life, of Hashavas Avedo almost. So maybe he's not entitled to any compensation because he's doing the mitzvah. And similarly, if it was a case where the patient may have died and may not have died, so then the doctor perhaps is not entitled to compensation because in that case maybe there was not Bari Hazeka. It was unclear whether he actually did anything to save the guy. Maybe the guy would have recovered on his own. But in a case where the patient would certainly, you know, have passed away if not for the doctor's intervention, so then perhaps the doctor is not entitled, according to everybody, perhaps he's not entitled to any compensation. So this is actually a theoretical discussion. The tour and the Shulchan Aruch in Yoredeya do discuss a doctor's entitlement to compensation, his entitlement to charge money, and they cite from the Ramban that a doctor is entitled to charge money, but it's limited amount of money. He's allowed to charge for his schar batala, meaning, let's say that the doctor would have been able to prescribe antibiotics for a cold, something which he's for sure allowed to charge money for. This is not hashavas gufo for a person. He's not actually administering them. He'd be able. Doctors have, there are plenty of things that doctors can do that make a lot of money that don't involve actually saving people's lives or saving people's limbs or saving people's health. So he's allowed to say, look, if I weren't treating this patient and saving his life, so I would have been making a lot of money doing one of those other things. So he's allowed to say, therefore compensate me for the work that I could have done but that I didn't do for you. So the Ramban says that a doctor is allowed to take that money, that compensation, and also for the effort that he expended if he were taking a vacation. So it's worth something. The break would be worth something to him. So now he's actually exerting himself in order to cure this person and save his life. So he's entitled to money for the exertion. But the Ramban says he's not entitled, let's say, to say, well, I went to medical school for 4 years and then I did an internship for 4 years and that's above and beyond the college that I needed to get into medical school or the studying for the MCATs and the courses for the MCATs, whatever it may have been. He's not allowed to charge money for that reimbursement because that, says the Ramban, is actually a mitzvah. And the Ramban compares this to a case of preparing the water for the Parah Aduma in order to make people tahar. So it's a mitzvah to prepare such water, to mix up the ashes from the Parah Aduma with the Mayim HaChayim. However, in terms of bringing all of the ingredients that are necessary for preparing this water, that's only what we call a Hechsher mitzvah. So the Gemara tells us that for a person to actually mix together the ashes and the water, he's not entitled to charge money for that because that's a mitzvah, and a person's not entitled to charge money for performance of mitzvos. Just like, let's say, Me'ikar Adin, Rebbeim are not allowed to charge money for teaching Torah. Kadosh Baruch Hu taught Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu for free, so therefore Moshe had to teach it to Klal Yisrael for free, and so too throughout all the generations, Torah can only be taught for free. So the same thing for any mitzvah. Mitzvos shouldn't be performed for money, they should be performed as volunteer. So for mixing it up, there's no permission to charge money, but for bringing all of the ingredients, there is permission to charge money. So too, says the Ramban, a doctor is allowed to charge money for the effort that he expends in curing the person, but for the actual cure, right, or for the actual learning, says the Ramban, that you can't charge money for because that's mitzvah ka'avid. He's not talking about tuition for medical school, which is teaching people how to cure. He's talking about a doctor taking money to compensate himself for all of the wisdom that he gained in terms of healing people. The parallel is not 100% clear, but the Ramban clearly does say that a person is entitled to compensation for healing his friend, and that's also seems to be what the Rosh says in our sugya. The Rosh brings a raya. He says if a person is being chased by a murderer and he breaks somebody else's kelim in his effort to get away, in his effort to obstruct the murderer, so the halacha is that he's obligated to pay that person for the kelim that he broke. So Zach the Rosh, if every single person has an obligation to spend money without reimbursement to save this guy who's going to be the victim of a murderer, so then who cares whether the person did it proactively or whether the victim broke the kelim in an effort to save himself. One way or another, right, the person has an obligation with his money to save the victim, and then the victim simply forced him to fulfill his obligation by taking his money to save himself. So why is the victim still chayav to reimburse the guy? So Zakhtar Rush, it's clear from here that even when a person is being saved from certain death, he still has an obligation to reimburse people who spent money in order to save him.